Our next guest, who is Jonas Loeb, the IATSE Director of Communications. And just want to let you know that that's the union. This is the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. They're negotiating right now with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, the Trade Association, with Hollywood about the future of how you protect the people who we love the stars. But it's men and women behind the scenes who bring them to us. So it's good to have you here. What's holding up the negotiations? Why is there no new deal?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the negotiations that are ongoing now have been ongoing since about May. And now what's kind of holding up the negotiations are a reasonable rest period during workdays, during meal breaks, between workdays and on weekends, lack of sustainable benefits, and trying to ensure that folks can retire with dignity at the end of their careers. Things pertaining to the fact that some workers who work on certain streaming productions are paid less than, you know, big budget blockbusters that, you know, otherwise they would be paid more if they were released traditionally. And some of what we're seeing is, you know, based on growing pains, I think, with, you know, the relatively new media streaming industry. So those are three kind of major points.
Yeah, Jonas, I want to ask you a little bit more about the streaming aspect of everything, but talk to me a little bit about the potential impact here, because this would be the first strike for this union and really the most significant since the writer's strike 14 years ago. I remember when that happened, all of our favorite shows were cut short. Could that happen again? What's the impact and how will that affect the consumer?
Sure. Yeah, as you said, this has never happened before and it's never had to happen. You know, negotiations, you know, these go every 3 years. They're usually done by the middle of summer. So we've kind of never gotten to this point before. It's extremely difficult to kind of speculate as to what the impact and how disruptive a strike would be. But, you know, with how big these companies are and how many different types of productions happen, you know, all over the world, you know, under some of these agreements, not just in the United States, you know, we're seeing that it could be extremely disruptive if it comes to that. And, you know, nobody wants to strike. I think it, you know, is really unfortunate and it stinks.
Yep. Hollywood pulled the plug. We lost your signal. Come back.
Oh.
Jonas, you reconnected. We got you.
Okay.
Let me ask you this.
Great.
When we talk about, I was reading some of the horror stories. I think there was the car accident years and years ago. Individual was working a 19-hour shift, and it's not uncommon for some of the people in your trade to work 14-hour shifts. What was addressed in the previous contracts to protect people from that kind of stuff? Why is that happening still to this day? Wasn't that addressed years past?
Sure. Great question. I mean, we have been trying to up what is called the turnaround time, which is a defined number of hours from when you leave work and then when you're due back. And the last round of contract, the last contract negotiations from 2018 had provisions in it where, you know, if you were working several days in a row or an extremely long day, that, you know, if you asked for, you know, lodging or a ride home, you know, that had to be provided. However, you know, those services might not have been advertised sufficiently. You know, and some folks, you know, might just try to stick it out and go home. I mean, you'd rather be home with your family, right? And, you know, these are the kind of issues that we're dealing with, right and wrong kind of bread and butter issues where folks want to go home and be able to have a family. And, you know, even in a case where somebody, you know, gets a trailer or something, you know, they don't get to be home with their family while that show is shooting, you know, or if they're working in post-production or something like that. I mean, yeah, some of the horror stories are absolutely terrible. You know, and they're frankly shocking, even as somebody in the industry who, you know, has known about this. And some of these are longstanding issues. But now's kind of the time. I think that the pandemic has really brought folks to a breaking point. Some of the hours and conditions have gotten worse, trying to make up for all the lost time. You know, last year in 2020, I mean, no production really happened from March 2020 till about September, when, you know, we figured out along with the Motion Picture Television Producers and some of the other Hollywood guilds like SAG-AFTRA and the DGA, protocols for, you know, how to film in the middle of a pandemic. So there's a 6-month backlog in addition to whatever, you know, the time was from when something finishes production and post-production to when it is actually released. And so, you know, we're hoping that we're able to make a deal and prevent the studios from forcing that time to be even longer.
And Jonas, you touched on this briefly, but the contract that you guys are operating under treats streaming services like new media, still in development. Will this work or won't they? But the argument here is that streamers have really doubled down. They've proven themselves to be kind of the golden goose egg of this industry. So talk to me about why it's important to now classify streamers differently.
Sure. I mean, we all remember, and it's funny to talk to folks about this, when Netflix was advertising how easy it was to mail DVDs back and forth from their headquarters. And, you know, that was kind of when some of those provisions were put in place. There is in the contract for folks, streaming platforms with less than 20 million subscribers get discounted rates, you know, where they're paying 73 cents on the dollar in some cases. Less than, you know, traditionally released blockbusters. The thing now is that, you know, these aren't small companies anymore. You know, we put that there to help the industry, this new industry, get on its feet. And now the people entering the game are some of the biggest companies on the planet. And in some cases, you know, literally by market cap, the top two companies on the planet. You know, we don't feel that those subsidies are, you know, helping the industry get on its feet anymore. In some cases, it's just helping the rich get richer.